don't know that I've said that this morning. One of the things about Joshua's story, it begins at a place east of Jordan called Acacia Grove. Now, I've mentioned this name before. Sounds like something in a beautiful avenue of houses with trees and drives and cars. But it's the name of the place. And of course it would be deserty. A place where we'd like to live if it was like we think it should be. Joshua is now in charge, under God's direction, to lead the people of God, about 2 million of them at that time, to claim and, if you think about it, occupy the land that belongs to others. And that's what all the trouble's been about through all these centuries. You know, for all great men and women, there comes a time when, due to age, no, we're not old, we are all right. I'm talking about dead old people. Oh, you know, with the ill health and the weakness. And the question is, who's going to replace Moses? He made a prayerful choice with God when he made Joshua, if you like, his second in command, and he'd be the one that would lead them. He was this assistant that was teaching. He'd been taught how to do the job. Not quite sure how. You try and learn how to go into a different country and actually say, we've come to take you over. He tells him the ways that things are going to happen. And if you think, in Numbers 27, 15 to 20, it says this. Moses said to the Lord, may the Lord, the God of the spirits of all mankind, appoint a man over this community to go out and come in before them, one who will lead them out and bring them in, so the Lord's people will not be like sheep without a shepherd. And in verse 18, the Lord said to Moses, take Joshua, the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit. Lay your hand on his head. Have him stand before all the people and the priests and the assembly and commission him in their presence. And all that was carried out. I said before, Moses was a big act to follow. But praying to Almighty God was the right thing to do. And it always is, isn't it? When we're in that position where we're not quite sure to go left, right, up, down, up the steps, down the steps, it's time for prayer. And I know in my life that I've prayed many times and you get the answer. You really do. I'm sure that the next step that we should take in our journey with the Almighty is to have a prayer. They were still on the east side of the Jordan. You know, they could see the promise. I'm sat here, and where those houses are there is the width of the Jordan from where they were looking. These people of God, they were there at last. God had promised, and now it's there. Things would happen after the mourning of Moses. He died. He never went into the promised land. And And God took him. Because the Bible says nobody knows where he's buried. God buried him. So for 30 days, I remembered our dear Queen. For 30 days, there was a mourning period where the royal family couldn't do anything. They had to pray and they had to remember, and I'm sure they had to cry. Joshua, the son of Nun. Almighty God says to him, Moses, my servant, is dead. Therefore, the time has come for you. You are to lead my people. No matter who has gone before us, the Lord expects another to take his place. And that's interesting, because the church is like that, isn't it? We're always after talent. We're always after people that will carry the banner. You know, that fallen banner. Moses has died. Who's going to pick the banner up and wave it? You know, for Israel and God. The time has come for you to lead the people, Joshua. What qualifications did Joshua have to do this big job? Well, the only thing I could find was that he was a warrior. End of story. He was very brave. What qualifications do you and I have to take up the job? Don't worry about the how or the what qualifications we might have. We will, like Joshua, be led and charged by the Almighty himself. I don't think we shall have to go, if you like, have the same job from God as Joshua did. He got a big job. But even though we won't be expected to conquer nations, every day, you know, and I'm sure you'll agree, we face tough situations. We have setbacks. We remember in our life all the plans that we've made, and then at the last minute something's happened. That's a setback. We remember the many times when we thought we could do something, only to find out that we couldn't, because that wasn't the job that God wanted us to do. And of course, when you think about it, there's another thing about living under God's direction. We meet difficult people. But God wants us to love those difficult people until they're so loving the difficult no more. And one of the wonderful things is that we can be looked after when we're tempted to do something wrong. However, God will never abandon us. He'll never fail us, and he'll never leave us. We must remember, out of the millions that left Egypt plus 40 years before, there's only five of the original people: Moses, Aaron, Miriam, Joshua, and Caleb. You know, they were left to see the promised land. And it's not going to be a pushover. There's many tribes living in Canaan. It's going to be a tough job. You know, even Moses was allowed to see it before he passed away. You know, one of the lovely things about God is that when Moses died and they crossed the Jordan to set foot in this promised land, one of the things about it was that God promised that he'd never leave them. So then, after 40 years of being homeless, a homeless desert people, the end was in sight. And if Joshua was God's man, then Joshua was faithful to the Almighty's direction. We've all been at that point, haven't we, where perhaps your husband has said, I think it's better if we go down here. We get near the sea like that. And of course I would say, I'm not going that way. I want to go that way. So you have a row. We're made that way, aren't we? But you see, the thing is that the people now have to follow instructions. There's no, I don't want to. They follow Joshua. He had been chosen to lead them and see the job done. And it means the first obstacle, crossing the Jordan. The Jordan flows from Mount Hermon. I've seen it, never been up it. Well, I'm not a mountaineer, but I've never been up it, but I've seen it. But the wonderful thing about Hermon is that it seems to have a lot of snow. And this is where the Jordan gets its water from. It flows from Mount Hermon, and it flows for 75 miles. That's a long way until it hits the Dead Sea. But Israel crossed, if you remember, the Red Sea. Man, it's called the Sea of Reeds, really. The Red Sea, it's called what we keep calling it, so that his chosen people could escape the Egyptians. So now God would provide a pathway across the Jordan. Please don't forget, brothers and sisters, that there will always be a pathway of help, of understanding, of love. If we trust in God enough, if we go to him first and not tag on at the end and then say, wait, there's a lot of time here. God is our strength. The chosen people. But you know what he did? They crossed the Jordan River, but they crossed it dry foot. He stopped the Jordan so that they could go through dry. The tribes of Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh would stay on the east side. They're stopping in Acacia. I can't get over it being called Acacia Avenue. But they're going to stop there. That had all been planned before. They would stay on the east side of the Jordan. But, now this is where the book comes in. But their strong warriors, they would go with the rest. This first great obstacle to take was, like we say, Jericho. They've met the angel of the army of the Lord. And Joshua knows that if we stick to the instructions, if we stick to the words, then we'll be all right. This walled town, one of the oldest towns in the world, is Jericho. It's got fortified walls. Now, I'm no good at knowing how big things are, but the walls were 25 foot high. I've seen the bottom part of it. So this guide told us. But what really, and it's in the scripture, the walls were 20 foot thick. Now, if you remember, that's where Rahab had her little house of ill repute. And that's where the two spies went. And she stopped them from being taken. You know, there's some people in scripture that are wonderful. And yet we say we're not bothering with them. She was a prostitute. But even prostitutes are forgiven by God. So then they cross this wonderful, wonderful wall. How are we going to get over that? How are we going to knock the wall down? It's not going to be a pushover, is it? So Joshua, first of all, after he's had a word with the angel of the Lord, he goes and has a little reconnoiter. He's accompanied by, you know, what had been accomplished so far is wonderful. They're there, they're ready. But what's it going to take Jericho? I wondered if his heart might have sank a bit when he looked at the tough walls and the thickness of them, the enormity of the task. We have enormities in our lives, don't we? When we think we can never, ever get over what's happening to us. But the Lord was with Joshua and the people of Israel. All that Joshua had to do was follow God's instructions. Now, we all know how to go about situations, don't we? Come on, nod. Yes, we do. There's one thing that I'm at fault. I do have faults, quite a lot of them. But one of them is I never read the instructions. And I've just bought a vacuum cleaner. And I'm thinking, well, I wonder how I get that out. And I don't know where the instructions are. I put them safe, but I should have read them. But you know, when you think about it, when we're dealing with God, you've got to read the instructions. And things are made clear. You know, all the soldiers there would know that God was with them. But you know, they do some peculiar things. And when you think about Joshua and this story, he tells the people that God wants Jericho taken. And I can imagine when he went into detail, there's somebody there that first of all says, he wants us to do what? And then him that stood behind would say, it won't work. There's always one of them, isn't there? It won't work. And then somebody else might say, well, I think it's stupid, if you ask me. Nobody's asked them, but, you know. And he says, count me out. I'm not doing it. Joshua tells the people, you do everything. Everything that God asked you to do. And in the way it was, he says, it must be done. We may not always understand scripture. God's working in our church, reminding ourselves it's the church of Christ, it's his church. And he lovingly wants us to share in the work. So with that settled, Joshua's ready. And what a performance. Some of the soldiers have to go at the front. Then you've got seven priests with ram's horns. Then you've got the ark being carried by priests. Then you've got some more soldiers. And they march round once. And this has to go on for a week until on the last day, we find out that the battle does indeed belong to the Lord. For the whole week, the inhabitants must have been looking over that wall and having a right giddle. Have you seen this lot? They're absolutely stupid. What are they doing? And what's that box thing that they're carrying? What was going on? God gave these complicated instructions. At one point, he said, nobody speak. Silence. Not for 2 minutes. I don't know how big Jericho was when it was at then. But it must have been pretty big. It was, they called it a city, the city of Jericho. And they had to walk round. God wanted all the Israelites and the people of Jericho know that he was the victor. God's method of doing things, as we know, would only increase the terror of the people. And on that last day, the people join in and they do the same thing, but this time, what are they doing? To go around seven times, that wonderful, wonderful number of God, seven, and to go around again, to go around, and they go around. And on the seventh, no, in quiet, and Joshua says, shout for the Lord. You want, you have good, I have goosebumps. Shout for the Lord. The faith of the Israelites, they win the battle. I'm not going into what happened because it's a bit gruesome. Sometimes, you know, we have to follow the Lord's instructions, even when to us they don't make sense, and the Bible doesn't make sense a lot to me. When I ask things and I get an answer that I don't understand. The walls did fall and the battle was won. If we learn anything at all from this story in Joshua this morning, first of all, God uses those who are to some not fit for purpose. We never know who's going to come through them doors. We never know because we go by loops, clothes. Jesus told a story about that. Think he's got any money? Oh, he's got a nice coat. And we're not thinking about somebody coming to work. And secondly, when God asks us to do a job for him, for the advantage of others, we must follow his instructions to the letter. And lastly, we must honour God, give him the glory, and thank him for using such as us. Amen.